Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, what another beautiful morning out here as I look out the Montana Talks studios windows. It's a Chatham painting out there. If you guys know the Montana artist, Chatham, right? You know, there's like that haze in the distance, that fog in the distance just around the tree line, or a little fog right over the river. That's what I'm seeing this morning. So beautiful view this morning. All right, great to be with you here. We got a great show for you here this morning. I kind of want to start here in this 6 o'clock hour and get to something that we didn't get to in our final hour of Wednesday's show. We had so many great phone calls that came in, so many good conversations in the final hour of the show Wednesday. I'm like, yeah, it's Thursday today. Oh, good. Okay, so maybe David Noble will be in next hour. That'll be good. We got a big lineup later on in the 8 and the 9 o'clock hours as well. But this was something I wanted to get to yesterday. I mentioned how the chairman of the Crow Tribe had a lot to say on Capitol Hill. He testified before Congress. It was before the House Natural Resources Committee. They have a subcommittee on oversight and investigations. And the hearing was titled this, Examining the Trump Administration's Work Combating Transnational Cartels in Indian Country. And the chairman of the Crow Tribe was there to testify about how the Mexican drug cartels have been doing just that, targeting Indian Country, targeting the Crow Reservation, and targeting Native Americans in particular. But I told our listeners about it and how he was calling attention to what the drug cartels have been doing on the Crow Reservation here in Montana. And we've had other tribal leaders testify to that very fact as well, leaders from Fort Peck Reservation in particular. But yeah, there were a few other things that he threw in there. He thanked Congress for backing the Crow Revenue Act. Remember, that's the legislation that would basically do a land transfer that would benefit the Crow Tribe and benefit the Signal Peak, the Bull Mountains coal mine south of Roundup. So kind of a win-win across the board there. He talked about the need for more BIA, Bureau of Indian Affairs officers, on the reservation. And then, of course, he talked about how Mexican drug cartels are targeting Native Americans and how the northern border is being exploited by criminal elements now. As the southern border has been secured, criminal elements, of course, have been targeting our northern border. And, of course, we've still got a weak, far-left leadership at the national level in Canada right now. So that's a part of the problem up there. But anyway, Chairman Whiteclay, we tracked down the full remarks yesterday, thanks to CNN. No, not that CNN. The Crow Nation News shared the full video, and so we've got the audio in hand. Like I said, I wanted to share it yesterday in the 9 o'clock hour of the show, but you guys know how this show rolls. You know, once we get on a topic, and then we get some phone calls, and one thing leads to another. Before that, before you know, man, the time's up. So I'm going to play the full audio of the chairman of the Crow Tribe testifying before Congress earlier this week, right after this, because that's going to tie into what we're talking about later on this morning in the 9 o'clock hour of the show, because also testifying at that hearing was the great Stacey Zinn, the former head of the DEA here in Montana. She's going to join us later on in the 9 o'clock hour. So, like I say, big lineup today.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With some sunshine across the area for today, we're looking at high temperature readings to stay in the mid-80s in Bozeman, around 90 in the Billings area. For tonight, mainly clear skies. Overnight lows in the mid-50s in Bozeman to about 63 in Billings. Then on Friday, with partly to mostly sunny conditions, high temperatures will boost up in the lower to middle 90s over the region. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
Homeland Security Inspector General Joseph Kafari testified to a House Oversight Committee and Chairman Clay Higgins that Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem set up a task force of investigators to go knock on the doors of adults who'd sponsored two or more unaccompanied minor migrant children.
They were able to identify and physically locate 12,000 unaccompanied alien children.
And how many sponsors were arrested
The number that we were given is about 400.
Now, of 448,000 kids who came in during the Biden administration, nearly 300,000 had been unaccounted for at one point. Kafari cited this as an example of one case involving some of his senior investigators.
One address where 35 unaccompanied alien children were designated to be, and it was a non-existing address.
Democrats accused the Trump administration of detaining minors without providing adequate food or water and of trying to end their ability to file for asylum. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Hiring. It's morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, if you go to MontanaTalks.com, you'll see this headline. CNN, Crow Nation News, highlights drug cartel targeting on the res. Here you go. I'm going to play it in full. This is a Crow Nation tribal chairman, White Clay, before the U.S. House Natural Resources Subcommittee on Oversight and Investigations. This, I believe, was Tuesday afternoon, if I'm not mistaken.
I now recognize Chairman White Clay for his 5 minutes.
Thank you, Chair. Members of the Oversight and Investigations Subcommittee, for the opportunity to appear today. The Crow Reservation, like many other of the tribal lands, has become an unwitting corridor for transnational cartels. Thanking for your attention to the matter and the administration's attention to this matter. We are here seeking partnership to secure our people and uphold our sovereignty. The Psalogat people have inhabited the Yellowstone River Valley in south central Montana. Our reservation was established by treaty in 1851. Today, the Crow Reservation spans approximately 2.4 million acres, a little bit bigger than Connecticut. As elected chairman, I represent over 14,000 members, enrolled members. Key priorities include public safety, economic opportunity, while maintaining cultural preservation. The reservation's vast terrain, remote roadways, and sparse law enforcement presence make it an attractive smuggling route for the cartels. Combined with limited economic opportunities, this creates a perfect storm for the predatory behaviors of cartels and organized crime. Over the past several years, law enforcement has seized record quantities of meth and fentanyl on the Crow Reservation. While meth and fentanyl distribution impacts all of Montana, these drugs continue to disproportionately devastate Indian country. Our people bear the human toll: addiction, violent crime, human trafficking, community trauma. My reservation is ground zero for MMIW. The Crow Tribe's funding shortfalls have severely constrained our capacity to secure the reservation and support at-risk families. I have testified before the expedited closure of our mine, coupled with the illegal placement on a do-not-pay list by the previous administration, has negatively impacted our community. The mine's closure significantly increased our unemployment rate and reduced tribal revenue. By unfairly being added to the do-not-pay list, we also lost countless grant opportunities and the millions. The consequences are substantial and multifaceted. Fewer BIA tribe officers on patrol, leading to delayed response times for drugs, weapons, cuts to the social service programs, increasing vulnerability to cartel recruitment and substance abuse. We have a total of 6 BIA officers in total, with only 2 per day patrolling landmass the size of Connecticut. Cartels are drawn not only to the wide open spaces of our reservation, but also to the void created by the budget limits and desperation caused by joblessness and poverty and lack of law enforcement. With more of these processes going through, we have partnered with National Guard to have a presence on our reservation because we don't have law enforcement pressure to deter cartel presidents. I want to thank this committee for passing the Crow Revenue Act in a bipartisan manner. Once signed into the law, the Crow tribe will again have the resources needed to protect our people, care for those in need, and invest in economic development. In my term, we have had 80 situations of missing people on which the Crow tribe has funded those search and rescues, and we've rescued 80 people through this term. 56 of them were drug-related and human trafficking. In January of this year, President Trump issued an executive order creating a formal process to designate international cartels as foreign terrorist organizations. FTOs are specially designated global terrorists. This recognizes cartels convergent with insurgent-style tactics, state actors, and terrorist groups across the Western Hemisphere, and declares their violence, assassinations, and trafficking pose an unacceptable national security risk. This action opened the door for enhanced law enforcement tools, asset freezes on designated entities, and prohibition on all U.S. transactions with FTOs, and expanded authorities of Customs and Border Protection and Immigration and Customs Enforcement. You know, there's a lot of talk of with the southern border, but our northern border remains unprotected as we see today. I conclude that leveraging the robust tools and authorizing the executive order and ensuring the Crow tribe and all tribal nations have direct access to these resources, we can stem for and begin to stem the tide of cartel violence, restore safety, and uphold tribal sovereignty, help our people be safe in their own homelands. Thank you.
All right, so that was very interesting. Well, you know, especially the part about missing and murdered indigenous women, and missing and murdered indigenous persons. We've talked about the virtue signaling that often takes place in the liberal media mob here in Montana and by some of these left-wing groups who pretend to care about missing and murdered indigenous women. And then you see some of these same left-wing activists show up at rallies for illegal aliens. What did we just hear there from the chairman? Did I get this right? You guys were listening along. Tell me, did I get this right here? So he said that basically he believes that the Crow Reservation has been ground zero for the missing and murdered indigenous women epidemic. And he talked about, you know, how they've had to basically pay for a lot of these search efforts, you know, with the lack of federal law enforcement on the reservation. And then he said that the majority, the overwhelming majority of those missing persons cases involved drugs. Just after he was telling Congress about how the Mexican drug cartels have been targeting his reservation. And yet look at how many of the same people who claimed to care about missing and murdered indigenous women supported the same people that opened up the borders to the drug cartels.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. If you're coming to the U.S. Capitol, know that there's a list of things you can't bring to the complex. In fact, the U.S. Capitol Police just updated and expanded the docket of items which are prohibited in congressional buildings. There are more than a dozen additions to the prohibited list for public visitors. That includes banning aerosols, laser pointers, and handcuffs from any of the congressional buildings. Updates include broader language to capture a wider range of potentially dangerous items. One example of the changes includes, quote, firearms to include replica guns and ammunition. The new list now reads, quote, firearms, any weapon that expels a projectile with an explosive. The Capitol Police note that even if you have a firearm that is legally registered in another state or the District of Columbia, it's still illegal to bring it onto the grounds of the Capitol. And the Capitol Police say, quote, failure to adhere to these regulations can result in an arrest, a fine, and or imprisonment, as well as the confiscation and or destruction of the item. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Who was there in 1999 for the Halloween night fire in Outlook, Montana? It was local commercial radio stations pumping out important emergency information. Who was there recently when a fire nearly took out several homes in Malta, Montana? It was a local commercial radio station. No offense, it wasn't PBS or NPR. That's part of what we talked about on Wednesday's Montana Talks. What are we going to talk about Thursday? Why don't you tell us? Phone lines are open. Montana Talks.
When I smoke weed, I get lost in the music. I like to isolate each instrument. The rhythmic bass, the harmonies on the piano, sticky melody.
Hey, careful, babe. There's someone crossing the street.
Sorry, I didn't see him there.
If you feel different, you drive different. Don't drive high. It's dangerous and illegal everywhere. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Donald Trump's America.
The AI action plan includes dozens of federal actions, all intended to cement U.S. dominance in artificial intelligence.
America is the country that started the AI race. And as President of the United States, I'm here today to declare that America is going to win it. We're going to work hard. We're going to win it.
President Trump is directing agencies to ease regulations and include private sector voices in rulemaking and speed up construction of energy facilities needed to run AI products.
It will require us to blast through obsolete systems, cut through thickets of regulation. We've got to get rid of some of the regulation, but we want good regulation and rebuild the industrial bedrock of our country.
The plan also requires any tech firm contracted by the government to ensure systems are objective and free from top-down ideological bias. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, this morning, I'm in Moscow, Idaho, which is hosting the 2025 American Lamb Summit. And our coverage this week is sponsored by the American Sheep Industry Association, powered by producers for producers since 1865. Learn more at sheepusa.org. American Lamb Board Chairman in Kansas producer Jeff Ebert says that they're excited to get the third annual American Lamb Summit underway today at the University of Idaho.
The biggest thing is we just want to keep the momentum of the American sheep industry moving forward. So we're excited to be in the West this year where big sheep numbers are. And just to bring people together from all facets of the industry and to share ideas and work together to try to keep our industry moving forward is our main focus.
And he says the American Lamb Summit will explore the newest trends and opportunities to help boost the competitiveness of the U.S. sheep market.
We're still not sure exactly what the tariff will do to the imports, but we want to be prepared as an industry if we see a decline in imported meat, imported lamb coming in, where we can fill some of that void with, you know, new producers and growing a growing industry. So, you know, and like you said, there's, you know, many different topics that are covered here, anywhere from, you know, production side of it to the packing side of it, and everywhere in between. So it's just an exciting time and a very exciting event that we're hosting.
Now, for more information about the American Lamb Board and this week's American Lamb Summit here in Moscow, Idaho, and other programs lamb checkoff dollars are being invested in, just visit lambboard.com. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this. Cattle Producers Western Video Market just wrapped up its Silver Legacy Sale in Reno, Nevada. And what a sale it was. Tremendous buyer demand and record prices for calves and yearlings. Now, their next big summer video sale is August 11th and 12th from Little America in Cheyenne, Wyoming. However, the consignment deadline is this Thursday, July 24th. So let the professionals at Western Video Market go to work for you and bring top dollar for your cattle. Contact your local Western Video Market rep today or visit WVMCattle.com. It's time to enter your sheep photos in the American Sheep Industry Association's photo contest. For 2025, there are five exciting categories: scenic, white wool sheep, naturally colored sheep, hair sheep, and open. Winners in each category will receive cash prizes. And new this year, there's a People's Choice Award decided by online voting. So don't miss the deadline. All entries are due by 5 p.m. Mountain Time on August 1st. For all the details and to submit those entries, visit sheepusa.org. Well, Crop Scouts are gathering in North Dakota this week for this year's Wheat Quality Council's 2025 Spring Wheat and Durham Tour. And they say this year, participants will likely be treated to some very good crop conditions. In fact, according to USDA's Weekly Crop Progress Report, 54% of this year's spring wheat crop is in good to excellent condition, with some very good ratings coming out of Minnesota, North Dakota, and South Dakota. However, this year's overall crop condition in Montana is being affected by some severe drought conditions there, where only 4% of the crop is in good to excellent condition. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
Big topics, big ideas, big sky, Montana Talks.
All right, let's see. Where do we go next? What should we talk about next here? I just thought that testimony there from the Crow Tribal chairman was so important to hear. That's what I've been focused on. But, man, we got a lot of other things racked and stacked ready to roll for you here this morning as well, all the way from AI and what the Trump administration is doing to get the U.S. at the forefront and to be the leader in that industry and that research and that technology, on down to the latest regarding the Obama-orchestrated Russia hoax and the Obama-orchestrated coup against President Donald J. Trump. You know, let's start with something else, though. Let's start with something a little more random here. This caught my eye earlier this morning. Caden, who was Vivek Ramaswamy on? Was he on with Laura Ingraham last night? But this clip of Vivek Ramaswamy caught my eye, and I was like, man, we haven't heard from Vivek Ramaswamy in a while. You know, he was such a prominent feature on the campaign trail back in 2024, and I think now he's running for, was it governor of Ohio, I think, something like that. Anyway, he was on with Laura Ingraham last night. Thanks for that, Caden. And he was talking about, kind of the Democrats and just kind of how crazy the Democrat Party continues to be, even after getting spanked in the elections last year. Let's see, what did Vivek Ramaswamy have to say?
I don't know. Do you think they might be out of ideas?
Would an untalented man be able to compose the following satirical witticism? Go f*** yourself.
Now the beeping continues today. Okay.
Really upset about illegal immigration. F*** you. How do you think your hotel room gets cleaned? How do you think you got food on your f***ing table?
Well, if it all seems coordinated, it's because it is. Remember that Washington Post report? The DNC wants a meaner, more freewheeling social media presence, part of a broader shift among Democrats who want to loosen their shake-by-the-book image, strike a harder tone toward Trump and other Republicans. Here with me to discuss this, Vivek Ramaswamy, Ohio gubernatorial candidate. Vivek, is being edgy working for them? I mean, some of these folks used to be funny, I mean, at one point in time, but now they're just, it's actually sad to watch, but it's so boring. I find it all incredibly dull.
It's like low-class theater. I mean, the fact of the matter is, if you're going to put up theater, at least make it entertaining. This isn't even that, Laura. The reality is they can drop as many F-bombs as they want. The real reality is it's all just fluff. It's a facade. And the reality is if they want to be edgy on your policies. I think that actually the United States of America faces still some of the same issues that we're going to have to confront for the next 20 years. Affordability for young people to be able to buy new homes, to live the American dream. If the left wants to argue with us, they may have different solutions, but let's talk about their solutions to inequality, something that they've crowed over for years. Instead, we're getting none of that. Instead, four-letter words instead.
Yeah, and they whine over millionaires losing their shows that are losing money for their networks. That's who they care about, their liberal millionaires. About the Obama-Russia coup, the Obama-Russia hoax, all orchestrated, all crafted. Let me quickly say we got a great message from Monty in Roundup that came in last night on our Montana Talks app. And this is an interesting question that comes from Monty in Roundup. I don't know what the procedures are how do you fix a past impeachment? A president of the United States was impeached. Again, impeachment is not a conviction. Impeachment is the charge, and then it has to go to the Senate for conviction and removal. But a president of the United States was nonetheless impeached, all based off of a hoax, all based off of a lie that's been further documented now with what has been declassified. And so, yeah, Monty is basically, here's the question here. In light of this new information regarding the Russia hoax being an unequivocal lie, how does that affect the prior impeachment of President Trump? Is it removed from public record? And the president totally exonerated? Do the Democrats, especially Nancy Pelosi, have to make a public apology? Certainly something should be done to clear his name and public record. Yeah, it's a good question there from Monty and Roundup, although I think the president has already more than cleared his own name. I mean, this guy is going to go down in the history books as one of the greatest American presidents of all time. I mean, just look at what he's accomplished here already in just the first 6 months alone. But, the more they throw at him, the more it became a badge of courage. That's kind of like, if you guys have heard of Alina Haba, she was one of President Trump's lawyers, a rock star legal team for President Trump last year when all this lawfare was being waged against him. Trump appointed her as interim U.S. attorney, and all these left-wing nut job federal judges in New Jersey, of course, basically fired her from the job, and then they voted to put some other clown in the job, and then the Trump DOJ immediately fired whatever clown these liberal judges put on the job. That's how petty the Trump derangement syndrome crowd is that they will fire, they will basically cut off their nose to spite their face. They will fire a U.S. attorney that they need in that job to do that work, to basically to help them with all these criminal proceedings before their courts. But they suffer from such severe Trump derangement syndrome, and they have such a hatred for Donald J. Trump that they would undermine their own courts just to spite Donald J. Trump. But it's also another reminder of why the United States Senate needs to get going and get these nominees confirmed. It's exactly why people like Alina Haba shouldn't just be interim U.S. attorneys. Confirm these nominees, get the job rolling, get the job done. We got too many other things due to make America great again. All right, back after this, Jim Jordan, Greg Jarrett, and more on the Obama-Russia.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Hey, that was a great news update there from our friend Dennis Bragg with the Montana State News Network. It was great to hear. Now I'm getting distracted again. Look at that hot air balloon, Caden. You see that out the window right now? I was just telling you guys what a beautiful morning it was out there, how it looks like a Chatham painting outside our Montana Talk studio windows right now. And then you got a big hot air balloon. Is that the KOA hot air balloon? I know it's got, I should have brought my sunglasses on. Whenever I go to the shooting range, I got to bring my prescription sunglasses so that I can, really see the further targets. There was one year I missed all the 300 meters. I was like, are you freaking kidding me? What's going on? And they're like, well, maybe get an eye exam. I'm like, oh, sweet. Good. It was my eyes. I thought it was my manhood that missed the 300-meter target. All right. I guess I can fix it with glasses if it's just the eyes. All right. But, what a beautiful morning out there. Hot air balloons rolling up here and everything. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah. The not so easy on the eyes. So... Tommy O'Neill, he was in that Montana State News Network update. If you missed it during the last break there, if you were refilling coffee and missed it, we've got a news update on our Montana Talks website right now. The news roundup that includes a lot of those same headlines you just heard. But I heard Tommy O in Butte right there. Tommy O'Neill, great guy. Tommy O'Neill is the brother of Navy SEAL Rob O'Neill, the Navy SEAL from Butte who killed Osama bin Laden. And what's funny is I was the first ever radio interview to interview Rob O'Neill, the Navy SEAL who killed Osama bin Laden. Now, when I interviewed him, though, we were up in Fort Peck. We did not know that he was the guy who killed bin Laden. We knew he was in on a whole bunch of other high-profile missions, but we didn't know that he was the guy that killed bin Laden. Now, there were some rumors over beers up at the lake. People wondered if it was him, but we didn't know. I was the first ever radio interview of Rob O'Neill, which is kind of funny because his brother Tommy is on the radio, too. But... Now, Tommy, he got a big one because Tommy was the first ever radio interview for Butte, Montana's own Tim Montana. But anyway, I joked about, man, that hot air balloon and the beautiful view this morning. It's like a Chatham painting out there. Very easy on the eyes. Not so easy on the eyes, but it's freaking hilarious. Speaking of Tim Montana, Tim Montana is on this incredible rockin' tour of Montana this week. I think he was at the Old Saloon in Emigrant yesterday. Stopped at the Windsor Bar in Boulder. I still need to go get one of their steaks, by the way. What the heck? And anyway, now there's more. All the hot air balloons are going up. See, it always, every year, it catches me by surprise. All the hot air balloons, when they do this hot air balloon rally in Billings, it always got them like, wait, I forgot today's the hot air balloon day. Okay, there they go. See, I'm so easily distracted here. Tim Montana, he was at the Sip and Dip in Great Falls the other day. And for those of you who don't know the Sip and Dip, that's the legendary bar. Remember Piano Pat back in the day? The O'Hare Mortar Inn, their swimming pool in the hotel, is right behind the bar. So there's glass into the swimming pool, and so they have mermaids that will swim in the pool while people are in the tiki bar of the Sip and Dip. Well, Tim Montana went full merman and jumped into the pool at the Sip and Dip. And the video is hilarious, so we've got that on our Montana Talks website as well. But the other thing I actually wanted to highlight from that Montana State News Network update, did you hear Dennis Bragg report on the much better outlook when it comes to precipitation and the lake levels for Flathead Lake? My first reaction was like, well, climate change. Well, climate change. So I guess climate change is a good thing now. See, when the lake levels were going to be low, too low, and you know, they didn't get the moisture that they wanted earlier in the year, while south central and southwest Montana was getting a lot of the snow, getting a lot of the moisture. But when northwest Montana wasn't getting, it's climate change up there. Not down where you guys are at. No, up there. Climate change. But now it's like, oh, wow, hey, actually, God, they're getting more precipitation here recently. Things are looking much better for the rivers in northwest Montana. The lake level forecasts for August are looking a lot better. Oh, the climate change crowd, what are they going to do? Their day just got ruined. Their day just got ruined. They can't talk about climate change. But don't worry. They'll find another place that has drought, and they'll use them as the climate alarmist story of the day. All right, let's get into phone lines here. Looks like we got a great caller on the line, Jim in Malta. Jim, thanks for the call. What's on your mind this morning?
Hey, good morning, Aaron.
Yeah, good morning.
So, listen, the discussion on all the evidence that, obviously we've all known about President Trump being innocent from the get-go. The strange thing about indoctrination, which happens in the schools, in the media, and everywhere else, it's happened in Germany and North Korea and China and Vietnam and everywhere else. Them folks will never, ever accept it. You know, the ones that are still wearing their masks in their vehicles by themselves, they will never, ever accept it because they hate him so terribly.
Yeah, or in the media's case, there's a great Federalist piece that I need to print up here, but here's the headline. After spreading Russia hoax lies, the media lie again to bury the evidence that they lied. So they were all in on it. They were all in on the hoax. They were the ones profiting off the hoax. They were the one getting Pulitzer Prizes for the hoax. So now that the hoax has been fully exposed, they can't admit they were wrong because they just profited off of it way too much.
Well, and that's right. And it's unfortunate, you know, that they can't accept the truth. But, again, it goes back to indoctrination. But, I was going to throw in there, remember when you were advertising about the Visit Montana flash giveaways?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, the wife and I had been taking turns entering, and turned out the wife won the Central Montana.
Really? Oh, very cool. Hey, very cool.
So, yeah,
cool.
That's awesome. And thanks to you and your show, we wouldn't have known about it. So, by golly, We took turns entering there, and appreciate it.
But oh, that's man, awesome. That Central Montana giveaway had a ton of stuff packed in there, like multiple hotel, Airbnb stays, tickets to a bunch of stuff. That's going to be a great one. Wow, well, congratulations. That's awesome. I'm glad it went to some great folks, and it's so cool that it was our listeners that won and delivered on that one. I did see, our friend Randy Geringa, who's been helping out with that Visit Montana campaign. I'll have to see if we have more of the winners listed. But I did see week four for Missouri River Country was Taryn K. from Missoula. And then Southeast Montana, the winner for that package for week five was Nancy T. from Butte. So a Butte radio listener was the winner of the Southeast Montana package. So that's pretty cool. All right. Well, Jim, great to hear from you. And congrats on winning that Visit Montana package. That's awesome.
Yeah, thanks, bud.
Yeah, good catching up with you. Okay, speaking of the Obama-Russia hoax, let's see. Where should we start? Let's go to Jim Jordan. You guys remember Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan? It was great to have him in Montana last year. I got to hang out with him in the Flathead.
Yeah, we are, and it all started back in 2016 and 2017. And as you said, Sean, you were on top of this, John, Greg. Everyone was on top of this and had some of these facts. But the one thing we got wrong is it was worse than we thought, because now we know it did, in fact, go all the way to the White House, all the way to the President of the United States. And at his direction, these key players, Brennan, Clapper, Comey, they're all there, and they decide we're going to change the report. We're going to change the intelligence community assessment. We're going to rely on a document that they already knew was baloney, the dossier. And your point is exactly right. Think about what the FBI allowed to happen in 2016 and 2020. In 2016, they allowed the public to believe the dossier was real, even though they knew at the time it was bogus. In 2020, they allow the public to believe the Hunter Biden laptop is a Russian information operation when they had the laptop and they knew it was true. And then in 2022 through 2024, they allowed Jack Smith's crazy investigation to go on as if President Trump had done something wrong. So you're right. All three elections, they allowed the country to believe things that were not accurate and see things that were not true. But it all started here. Back on December 9th, in that room, in the White House, the key players are there, and they hatched this plan. President Trump has won the election, but we're going to go after him now. We're going to undermine his presidency, and we're going to start on that important date you had in your monologue. January 6, 2017, when they released the new report, the manufactured report, and they go to Trump Tower, and they brief the president. He thinks he's getting a defensive briefing, but Comey tells him about the dossier. Again, the dossier he knows is false. He tells him about it, and then that gets leaked to the press and thereby giving it credibility. That's how bad this was. So God bless Tulsi Gabbard and the work she's doing for sending this to the attorney general. Now it's time to hold people accountable.
All right. Now, Greg Jarrett also weighed in. He's the Fox News legal analyst who's been exposing this Russia hoax since day one as well. We'll hear from him after the break. They were both on with Hannity last night. Speaking of Hannity, here you go.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
All of these people that have been involved in what was the polluting and altering and dissembling of this intelligence, they're going to have a hard time getting out of it, because it seems to me, my analysis, and I want to see all the information before I come to my final conclusion, is that they purposely dismantled this information that was put together by the intelligence community, ordering a reassessment because it didn't have the conclusion that they wanted. The fact that this declassification is saying it came directly from Barack Obama, yeah, that would warrant him going before Congress and maybe a prosecutor and answering serious questions.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. You know, I've been buying precious metals. Somebody gave me great advice. I'm so grateful every day that I did, and I've been doing it for decades. Every paycheck I get, no matter what, I put aside a portion of money to diversify into precious metals. Now, especially during uncertain times, remember the 2008 financial crisis. Who do I choose to make my gold and silver purchases with? What company do I now use? Who do I trust? Well, I've been partnering with a great company for 3 years. I am a customer. The company's called Gold Co. Gold Co. will send you right now a free 2025 gold and silver kit to learn more about diversifying with precious metals. Now, this kit from Goldco has been a huge help to me. I think you'll learn a valuable lesson. You'll also learn about their unlimited bonus silver offer. Now, you're not going to want to miss out. All you have to do is call, no obligation, 855-815-GOLD, or just go to HannityGold.com. That's 855-815-GOLD, or go to the website HannityGold.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With some sunshine across the area for today, we're looking at high temperature readings to stay in the mid-80s in Bozeman, around 90 in the Billings area. For tonight, mainly clear skies. Overnight lows in the mid-50s in Bozeman to about 63 in Billings. Then on Friday, with partly to mostly sunny conditions, high temperatures will boost up in the lower to mid-90s over the region. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm Paul Trombley.
Crawfish, crawdads, crayfish, call them what you want, but you got to check out these monsters in the Clark Fork River in western Montana. Holy cow, these things are huge. They look like lobsters. Red lobster, that's right, Jerry. That story posted with photos. Go to MontanaTalks.com. Plus, when it comes to driving in Montana, running into a beast is oftentimes the nature of the beast. 30,000 collisions since 2008. MontanaTalks.com for the full story. Hey.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see here. I see we got, it looks like there is a phone line ringing here. So if somebody is on the phone line, stay on the phone line here for just a second. Actually, I can check in with you. Okay, because I need to play the Greg Jarrett soundbite here anyway. But hey, real quick, I mentioned how the hot air balloons are up. I can see these beautiful hot air balloons, beautiful view looking out over our Montana Talks studios right now. And yeah, Caden printed up the info for us. The Big Sky Balloon Rally, kicking off in Billings, Montana, formerly the Big Sky International Balloon Rendezvous, but it goes from July 24th through the 27th. They are lifting off from Amond Park. So, yeah, we've got 3, 6, 7 balloons in the air right now, with several more about to lift off as we speak. Okay, back to the Obama-Russia hoax. Here is Fox News legal analyst Greg Jarrett on these documents exposing Barack Hussein Obama's role in the coup against Trump.
All of the people you've identified, Comey, Clapper, and Brennan, the sort of three stooges of Obama's national security team, Obama himself, Biden was in on some of the meeting. I mean, this is what these malign actors did, Sean. Any reliable intelligence that exonerated Trump was classified and buried until now, while phony intel was conjured up and peddled as credible just to frame Donald Trump. And Obama, he was central in all of this. He was told at the outset that Hillary invented the false collusion narrative to smear her opponent. The intelligence community totally rejected it as bogus, finding that Russia did not meddle to help Trump. Obama could have stepped forward, done the right thing, told the American people the truth, but he didn't do that. He ordered this new intel assessment that said the exact opposite of the truth. Why? To propagate the hoax. And Brennan and others did his dirty work, Sean, and those who objected, and a lot of the intel agencies did object, they were sidelined and silenced. So as I wrote in a column this week, never before has an American president connived to sabotage and destroy his successor as Barack Obama did, Sean.
All right, so now that then leads to the obvious question. I think you guys explored this question earlier in the week, which is, okay, will Barack Hussein Obama be held accountable? Will he be prosecuted over this? Now, I think one of the stories that came out yesterday, I've got several sound bites from Tulsi Gabbard, is that basically that this misconduct by Barack Obama is being forwarded now to the DOJ for investigation and possible prosecution. But I do also have a couple of sound bites here. I think Rand Paul weighed in. I think Speaker of the House Mike Johnson weighed in as well. So we'll get to that topic coming up here in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. By the way, I checked in on the phone lines, and that was actually our friend David Noble at the front door. So that's great news, because coming up in the 7 o'clock hour of the show, David Noble in the house. Looking forward to hearing his take on that topic and so many others. Hey, you know, you're talking about these hot air balloons lifting up there in the sky. You know, it's just so amazing. No matter where you're listening to the show from right now, what a beautiful view you've got, because you live in Montana. That's what I love about having a camper, is you can have a different backyard every weekend. You can have a different backyard. Your backyard could be the river. Your backyard could be the lake. Your backyard could be, you know, a KOA campground seeing these hot air balloons going up in the sky right now. Your backyard could be wherever you want it to be. And I'll tell you what, if you don't have a family camper, or if you don't have, you know, a family boat to get out on the water and really enjoy the Montana outdoors, we'll get a hold of our friends at Brett's RV and Marine. Family-owned, Montana family, largest selection of boats and RVs in a five-state region. They've got locations and great people in Lockwood, in Billings, in Butte. Our Air Force buddy, Brad, go see him at Brett's in Butte. The Missoula crew, incredible crew as well. Or you can check out brettsrv.com. And, hey, maybe if you already got a camper, you want to trade in and trade up as well.
From the substance use disorder and addiction is so isolating. And so as a Black woman in recovery, hope must be loud. It grows louder when you ask for help and you're vulnerable. It is the thread that lets you know that no matter what happens, you will be okay.
When we learn the power of hope, recovery is possible. Find out how at startwithhope.com. Brought to you by the National Council for Mental Wellbeing, Shatterproof, and the Ad Council.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.